next on BYUSN, report for training camp. BYU football back to work. Players report today, and we'll discuss with linebacker Max Tooley as he previews BYU's first camp as a member of the Big 12.
And what's the latest in expansion talk? Brett McMurphy clarifies some contract details about how many teams ESPN and Fox are willing to pay.
Pay them all. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Monday, July 31st. I am Spencer Linton. He is fall camp ready, Jerem Jordan.
Listen, it's reporting day for the guys. They get their swag, which is super cool. So it's exciting. First fall camp practice is tomorrow. So we are in it, man. We are like a little over a month away, which is exciting. And it's how many days until the Bearcats?
Yes.
Countdown to the Bearcats.
33 days.
Or as Rory McIlroy would say, 33 days.
Do you find that as we move on in years doing this show with each training camp, that the summers are shorter and shorter?
No.
Oh, man.
No.
My summer was like this.
It was great.
Oh, yeah, you have been on vacation for a while.
Yeah. I got one more next week.
Why not?
Not the whole week, but yeah. Listen, everyone feels like the season starts today. It doesn't start until September 2nd, okay? It's going to be a fun but long month still, okay? On today's show, the latest in expansion conversation. Max Tooley joins the program on reporting day. How good will the linebackers be? What kind of gear are the guys getting this year? In fact, I heard that, we're actually getting gear because it's gear day for the guys. Thank you. Wow. Okay.
This is unexpected.
Thank you.
Okay. What's in this?
I literally have no idea what's in this.
What's in this?
Okay. All right. Okay. We got some blue
genuinely
goggles.
Genuinely interested. Okay.
We got some blue goggles. All right. That's good. Always need those.
Okay.
Fresh
blue
ones.
Ooh.
Water bottle. I don't even know if this is used or not.
Blue goggle alert.
Is this a new? We got new microphone.
New microphones.
Thing?
Okay. Yeah. Very nice. We need those. Got a pack. Of course, everybody that went to the Baylor game last year got this one. Someone said, thanks for the scripture case.
This wouldn't be because there's just, a ridiculous excess of these.
No, that's not it. And then, new iPad for the Cougar Council room. That's great. This is what we need.
This new iPad looks a lot like the old iPad.
Yeah, this is stuff we need. Yeah, wait a minute. Where's that Big 12 money?
Hey, we're giving you all this gear. Who doesn't need a water bottle, too?
Yeah, I already have this one, but okay. Yeah.
Okay,
hey, that's great.
That water
that's
bottle
great.
Up there.
I love it. I'm going to keep the blue goggles.
Some new
up
gear.
Here. Yeah, that's great.
We still need our blue goggle holsters. Okay.
Holster?
Yes.
Oh, like
on this desk.
Oh, yeah,
we
yeah.
need to be able to like access those
yeah. yes.
like a gun holster, but
I love
with
it.
Blue goggles put
I love
into it.
It. Okay, I'm just going to set this down here. I'm going to keep the blue goggles up. Okay. Because hey, it's fall camp reporting day.
Those
okay, what
intense.
Else is on the program? Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. James Empey gets picked up. We'll tell you who picked him up, and Matt Bushman catches a couple of TD passes. Let's go.
I'm still seeing lights from the blinking of the blue goggles.
Yeah, this I Woo! See. I see a bowl game. That you see like New Year's Six.
I don't even know if I can go there.
Those are different.
What happened to the extra large blue goggles? We need those for a New Year's.
Yeah, where
six.
Did those go?
We need to find those.
I think we lost those when we got the Big 12 invite.
There is no holster that would hold the size of those blue goggles.
No. We used to have a bunch of crap on the desk.
My goodness.
A little cleaner.
All rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
Is it a touchdown? Touchdown, Cody Epps! He's going to have the touchdown! For the touchdown! Mike Isaac Rex!
What's Trending? Presented by Feastbox, donating 10% of every order to Full of Hope, a charitable organization that helps feed hungry families. Camp Kalani 2023. Just about to begin amidst Big 12 expansion madness. I cannot think of a better way to explain it.
Expansion!
It has been just unbelievably entertaining over the past few weeks.
I didn't miss anything last week. Well, what's funny
is you need to go on vacation more because whenever you leave, something crazy happens.
Well, maybe that's for a reason. In the BYU magazine, there was an article that came out where we explained some stuff about the Big 12. And in it, we said, hey, but there may be more teams added.
Yes. I believe you were the one quoted in that specific regard.
I tried to be a teammate, a good teammate
Expansion could happen.
Yeah, the week that comes out, boom goes dynamite.
Well, we're at 13 and maybe 14 by the end of training camp. We'll see. It could extend, as Brett McMurphy told us on Friday, into October before we know what's actually happening. It would seem that the Pac-12 has the easiest path, Jaron, because there's no buyout. Because there's no deal!
Well, the TV contract ends, right? And then they can leave. The grant of rights is up, and they're good to go.
Easy peasy.
There's no
for
buyout
Colorado.
Like teams under contract, for example, San Diego State, SMU, Memphis,
you know,
and so on.
Cool 34 mil will get San Diego State out of the Mountain West.
Any Mountain West team. Can you imagine?
Good luck. So with these two emerging storylines, well, one is already fledged into the limelight. The other is emerging through BYU football as they move into training camp. Which will have more of your attention this week? Because there will be, you know, somewhat actual football in practice form, but like football that you get to watch. We get to watch BYU practice this week. So what has more of your attention? Is it BYU football training camp or Big 12 conference expansion news?
This week, it's expansion. Like, fall camp is exciting. They don't put on pads till the fifth practice, so it's going to be later this week. And even then, the number one goal of fall camp is to not get hurt. So fall camp's fun, don't get me wrong, but the expansion conversation news is way more exciting, frankly, than sometimes even the game, Spence. Like, remember, an invite for BYU and the other three did not come in August. It came in week two of the season. So, like you mentioned with McMurphy, it could bleed into the year. So, for me, you know, training camp's very exciting. Fall camp, which it's not fall whatsoever, by the way. It's still summer, but whatever. It is expansion for me. How about you?
I agree. Outside of the maybe observation period that we get tomorrow for who knows how many minutes?
Roughly 15 minutes.
Right? Okay. Awesome.
We'll make gross observations, overestimations.
Will we be granted anything later this week, potentially on Friday?
Friday, yeah.
Outside of that, like outside of those sessions, I believe I will be all in watching BYU football and focused 100% on what I am seeing from the players and identifying jersey numbers and seeing where everybody is. Outside of those two specific sessions, it will be about Big 12 expansion.
Why wouldn't it?
And we will all continue to be glued to X or Twitter or whatever it is.
Formerly
right
known as Twitter. Okay,
the artist formerly known as Twitter.
Every SportsCenter graphic tweet is X, formerly Twitter. Okay, for how long do we do that?
It's the thing now.
I get it.
Yeah, so formerly Twitter.
We're now just Y.
We will be paying attention to see if Arizona takes the last donut in the box of six people standing around, or is it somebody else? Does it fall to UConn? I tend to believe that if it's going to happen fast, it's got to be a Pac-12 team. If a Pac-12 team doesn't bite, then maybe we push later on into the year and it falls to a Group of Five team. I don't know. But that's where the majority of my attention will be, is following the teams that were outlined by Brett McMurphy as maybe Arizona, certainly somebody else from the Big 12 or from the Pac-12. That's who the Big 12 teams are, or Big 12 conference are most interested in.
Yeah,
and
for
then
sure.
It's
for sure.
The Group of Five teams, Memphis, UConn, maybe somebody else.
No Gonzaga talk in this, by the way. Remember how hot and heavy that was?
Yes. Oh, and then throw
in. Mandel told us on the show it might be a couple of weeks away.
Then throw into the mix just straight rumors that Oregon, Washington, and now maybe Clemson and Florida State out of the ACC, they're thinking about going to the Big Ten. I think that is purely just somebody started a rumor
out
there.
It's pie in the sky.
Yes.
Although, if you had said, you know, USC and UCLA to the Big Ten, you know, 2 years ago, we would have said no.
We'd have laughed in everyone's face.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, Kevin Garnett is right. Anything's possible. But regarding expansion, okay, Brad McMurphy, great interview on the show Friday. He clarified some things in an article on the Action Network. Let's talk about it because this gives us some insight.
Let's do it.
In the new grant of rights deal, ESPN is paying $20 million and Fox is paying $11.7 million. Okay. Per school annually. So ESPN has said, hey, they guarantee prorated, meaning if you add a P5, we will pay that amount up to 16 teams. But in Fox, it's up to 14. And so that That tells us there's room for one more for sure that gets a full share. Now, they go back to Fox and be like, all right, look, we got Arizona or whatever. Would you pay Fox? Will you pay them? No, Arizona would be the 14th. Hey, we suddenly got Oregon, Washington, or we want two others.
We're up to 16, basically.
We're up to 16. Will you pay them the 11.7 part? They can figure that out. Arizona feels like the leader in the clubhouse based on what is being conversed. The pie in the sky thought certainly would be a domino that tips the Pac-12 over the edge, and then you might see the floodgates open to some degree. I wonder how much ESPN and Fox are willing to pay if there are more teams available. Because if Oregon and Washington actually do go to the Big Ten, that is the dam breaking for the Pac-12. It's one thing to have Colorado. It's another thing to have Colorado and Arizona. But if more teams beyond those two go, now you're turning into Mountain West Conference Plus.
It's good night for the Pac-12.
It's good night, yeah. It's not good night yet, but in hindsight, we may look back and see that Colorado, which isn't the first domino. The first domino is USC and UCLA, certainly. That Colorado is certainly a big piece of this, but the biggest piece is sitting there, Oregon and Washington. If I'm Utah, I'm the last one to leave. Like, I'm not jumping into this. We've won the league the last year. This has been a great fit for us. This has been an upgrade. Why the heck would we leave? And the more this conversation happens, and Twitter is just a buzz with BYU.
If we all thought that the Pac-12 versus Big 12 rivalry was good, you know, a month ago, think about what it is today, right now. It is hilarious.
Like BYU's stance in this and the framework of this on Twitter is so interesting. Utah should be crushing it. They've just won the Pac-12 the last 2 years, yet the Pac-12 is the laughing stock of college football at the moment. It is wild how quickly things can change and how much sometimes on the field doesn't even matter. Like, what Utah has done has been amazing the last 2 years, but no one cares. It's all about, can you sustain the league? What's your TV contract? Where is it? What's going on? It's not there, dude. So I wonder if Arizona will, or someone, will also jump out like Colorado, not having seen a contract. They didn't wait until they saw it. Nope. They just went now. I wonder if another team will do that, like Arizona.
Colorado said, and we think, and we expounded as much, again, with Brett McMurphy on Friday, that the final straw was Colorado showing up at Pac-12 Media Day and there being nothing from the conference in regard to a deal. And at that point, they were like, okay, we're not going to wait around anymore. We're choosing, in their words, stability over the uncertainty of the Pac-12.
They've lived in this neighborhood. They know it's good. They know it has good schools. They like the friends.
They're
in the
guaranteed $31.7 million in a football contract through 2031. That's guaranteed. They know the deal. They're invited. They're welcomed back in. They chose
history
to jump now.
Yeah, they have stories and relationships.
Is there another school that feels as much desperation or as much frustration, I should say, as Colorado about not having a deal? All the reports would indicate that Arizona is there, but Arizona's president, as early as last week, was cited as saying, look, we're waiting for the deal. That's what I have said. I'm standing by that. We're waiting to see what the deal is.
What is the deal? What's your deal? How long are you going to wait?
But at some point, does even he lose patience because the deal is not showing up? It might turn out, Jerem, that the Pac-12 gets a nice lucrative deal. And it's $30 million or $35 million a year for streaming, Amazon. I'm just saying, like, it might. Okay, great.
It likely will.
But how do you save face? Even if that good of a deal comes about, how do you recover from this? How do you recover from this and earn back trust and respectability?
Earn back, you say? Yeah.
I don't know how you recover from this.
The Pac-12's got so many issues. Obviously, no deal. The fact that they have to pay Comcast back, like, you couldn't crunch the atrocity that it is, the amount it takes to just have the offices in San Francisco and so on and so forth. Look, I would love for the Pac-12 or 10 or 9 or whatever to continue to exist.
A West Coast conference is good. A West Coast conference,
yes,
that is a Power 5, not the actual WCC, is good for sports,
yes,
college sports.
I think it's good. Like I've said this, I grew up watching those games, you know, in Oregon and Washington, then when I moved to Utah. Like, I enjoyed that. We all liked watching the USC teams in 03 and 04. Now we're going to watch those teams, but it has nothing to do with a team connected to the West, but they represent the West. It's kind of a weird dynamic. Let's see how this shakes out. But yeah, certainly last week was interesting because someone not having seen the deal was like,
I'm done.
I'm out. I know that even what they get. And again, we've said this, but let's discuss it. Even if that number approximates the Big 12, you are not on Fox and ESPN. If you were on CBS and CBS Sports Network, I could see like, okay, yeah. you're relevant. You're going to be on an Applebee's or whatever, like the like median test of, is your game just randomly on in front of people? If you are streaming, how many people are going to randomly pull up those streams that aren't Pac-12 fans? Like, you're not catering to fans of the teams. You're catering to the average college yes. football fan. Will they tune in to that matchup? And they may not even have that streaming service available. Like it's like the friends that are like, oh, you're watching the whatever on Apple Plus. It's like, well, no. You have to have Apple Plus.
No, I'm not watching that.
But if you have it on Netflix, yeah, I can access it right away or whatever. It depends on the. There's like the mainstream linear channels.
Yeah.
There's the non-mainstream linear channels, and then there's main and non-mainstream streaming opportunities. Like, even if the Pac-12 got a good number, you aren't as relevant. Like, Game Day is not discussing you at the same level. They are not pulling those highlights.
Then you become
the A or
the,
B blocks. You are buried.
Yeah, you become the Kirk Herbstreit who will say, it'd be a little difficult to find the game, but it should be a good game.
Because it's not on ESPN. Like, that's a shot at the non-ESPNs, right?
Hey, have fun watching Cal and Washington State while you're sitting in Aubergine Kitchen or Zupa's. And you're asking them
I
to stream.
I love Zupas. You and I love Zupas. We go to Zupas.
I will say this to close out. If BYU fans, if you're one of the BYU fans that don't want Utah in the Big 12, there are a couple of things that you
there
should be rooting so hard.
There are more and more of you. Yeah.
You should be rooting so hard for it to happen. Two things. Number one, you should be rooting for the Pac-12 to stay in existence. Seriously.
Yeah.
Because if it goes away, there's a great chance that Utah, with its brand and how good of a football program they have right now, they're going to work their way into the Big 12. So if you don't want Utah and BYU in the same conference, you should be hoping that the Pac-12 stays alive.
I agree.
Secondly, you should also, okay, if somebody leaves the Pac-12, you should be hoping that it's not Oregon or Washington, okay? You should, like Arizona, even if Arizona leaves for the Big 12 and they get to 14, it's fine. As long as Oregon and Washington are still there, the Pac-12 will remain. Okay, so those are the two things.
And they'll be what the Big 12 was before without the big brands of Texas and Oklahoma, if you will.
Then you don't have to worry about Utah being in the same conference as BYU.
By the way, I flipped a little bit on this conversation.
It's hilarious to me. The dynamic of the Big 12 versus the Pac-12 and BYU versus Utah is so hilarious. And
it's the best
fun and
like
enjoyable.
We've never been in this leverage spot before, right? We've been in the we've lost 9 games in a row and we're in an independent spot.
Oh my goodness.
And now we are sitting on a 1-game win and through 2 years and in a Power 5 league. Let's go.
Yeah.
Again, it doesn't matter that BYU hasn't done jack squat in the Big 12 and Utah's won 2 league titles. Can you imagine how ticked off we'd be if we'd won the Big 12 2 years in a row, but we were getting dumped on?
Yes, I understand.
That would stink so bad.
But even some high-level Utah accounts are going the sarcasm
it's
route.
It's BYU's fault.
They're like, oh, yeah, we're upgrading with Tulane and San Diego State and maybe Memphis and Colorado State. What an upgrade, George.
Oh, how the turns table. Pac-12.
These are Utah fans. Oh, my goodness. Our question of the day is this. What will have more of your attention this week? BYU football training camp. We call it fall camp.
Whatever.
I'm moving more and more away from that because it doesn't happen in the fall.
It ain't fall.
It's summer.
Let's get a little technical, okay?
So it's called training camp.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Is it training camp or is it Big 12 conference expansion news for you?
Or is it Twitter between BYU and Utah fans? I mean X.
The artist formerly known as Twitter.
That's right.
BYU for Trey on X. Twitter answers, it's always fall camp for me, training camp. Expansion is a fun way to fill summer sports, but actually football is what we all care about.
This just in, it's not actually football. They don't even have full pads till later. And they don't play, it's BYU versus BYU. So I would argue it's not actually full football until September 7th.
It will have my attention and probably your attention.
100%.
For the periods that we get to watch BYU actually practice.
Yeah, 100%.
Outside of that, it's all Big 12.
I can fill it up. I have multiple jugs of water to fill here. It's not just one, okay?
Yeah.
And it's NFL training camps. It's women's soccer and volleyball. Like, let's go.
Michael Croxall on Instagram says, we know who the BYU quarterback is.
Yes, we do.
We know who the running back is.
Yes, we do.
We won't learn if the new defense has improved until the Arkansas game.
Well, we don't know how good said quarterback and running back will be with BYU in the Big 12, right? That's still unanswered.
He says, my mind is focused on expansion until football starts. But I'm glad that training camp has started because that means we're close to kickoff.
Yes, we're getting closer. We're practicing. We're seeing storylines develop and whatnot. Yeah.
Awesome. Hashtag BYUS on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram to join that conversation.
It's good to take a minute for us to say X, Facebook, Instagram. After further review, it rolls out the annual touchdown show. Every touchdown from last year. What in the world? Watch it tomorrow at 7 Eastern on the BYU TV app. That's going to be a fun show.
Up next, to help us preview BYU football training camp, Jerem goes one-on-one with a man who had not one, but two pick sixes just last season, Max Tooley on the show. Stay with us for more BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is sponsored by Feastbox Global Grill, a unique dining experience featuring Texas, Hawaiian, and Korean meats. Time to feast.
Max Tooley. Max Tooley plants Tay McWilliams.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation, live in Studio B alongside Jerem Jordan. I'm Spencer Linton. I'm not sure how we haven't to this point worked out some type of agreement with Thule Time and Tim Allen. And
yeah, Home Improvement. I love that show. That was great. Well, Max Tooley last year, you forget, he only played in seven games. He started six, but he had three picks. Two were pick sixes. He's going into his sixth season at BYU. I spoke with him earlier this morning about the start of fall camp. Max, what does your sixth reporting day feel like?
Dude, sixth year feels, I mean, it's crazy it's been this many years. But, yeah, it's just like every other fall camp. The nerves are still there. Still just trying to get in that right mindset for fall to come and to play in some games and to win some football games. So, yeah, it's feeling good, though.
At this point, do you know how to run this marathon of fall camp? Because the excitement level is off the chain at the beginning for everybody. But then kind of week two or three, sometimes it feels like it's a drag. It's like, okay, we still have like two more weeks until the first game. So how do you sort of approach the beginning of this? Are you like calm, cool, collected? Are you stoked? Are you cha-hooing in the locker room? How do you approach it?
So, I mean, personally, yeah. Like after 6 years, I feel like there's a certain level of expectation for what's going to come this month. And, you know, the first couple of years is a little scary, a little hesitant because you don't know what exactly you're getting yourself into. But I feel like at this point in my career, I'm a little bit more at that, you know, cool and collective stage where, you know, it's another process in the step for the season and, you know, just ready to take care of some business. So.
Okay, with that said, though, it's the first year in the Big 12. So is there a sort of a new defensive coordinator, new defensive staff, minus Gennaro Guilford, is there a kind of a newness to this fall camp that's unique with those circumstances?
Yeah, no, for sure. It's going to be a learning curve for everybody. I mean, a lot of the guys have been in for a spring and had some experience, but I haven't been quite as lucky just because I was out for the spring ball. So I have some catching up to do. So in a way, this is kind of like one of those first years where I got a lot to learn, a lot to prove, a new defense to, you know, really execute in. So, yeah, there's a lot of those first couple of year nerves going along with this new defense and this new system. So,
people talk about, okay, if you play spring, you're ahead, you're getting ahead. And in your case, you sat out with shoulder surgery. So what do you need to learn in fall camp to sort of catch up?
Yeah, I mean, I think in spring it was good because I got a lot of the mental side down, learning the plays, you know, seeing where things are supposed to go and how things are supposed to be executed. So now I think it's just a matter of getting that muscle memory down, doing what I've always done and just playing football in the fall. So I think at this point it should come pretty natural. But, yeah, just getting that muscle memory down, getting those plays, getting those repetitions, so I can feel ready for the games.
We're talking to Max Tooley, a senior linebacker on the BYU football team. Max, what are you most excited about this defense? Because everyone talks about, hey, it's more aggressive. But, like, give me some specifics about that level of aggressiveness and sort of what your role will be in that.
Yeah, I mean, Yeah, I think everybody's answer is there's a little bit more aggressiveness to our defense now. And I'd say, you know, specifically with my position, that's probably the main difference. I'm playing a little bit on the opposite side of the field, playing on the boundary now, but we're going to be, you know, coming from all directions. So I think that aspect of our defense, the mysterious unpredictableness of our defense, that's really exciting to me and something that is definitely going to be a little bit of a shift from what we're used to from the past. So.
What's predictable is you getting a pick six. You had two last year. The celebration was this. So I want to ask you, is this the celebration this year if you get a pick six again?
Shoot, I don't know. We'll see what happens when that pick six comes. You know, celebrations for me are kind of just spur of the moment. I don't know what they mean. They have no rhyme or reason, but, you know, just got to be excited to play the game. That's how I've always looked at it.
Would you rather have your two pick sixes or Ben's one?
Dude, that's tough. I mean,
his was pretty good.
For sure a bias. There's for sure a bias, but I feel like, you know, 14 points is greater than seven. So
it's true.
When it comes down to it,
we're talking to college graduate Max Thule. You know math. Yeah, I didn't take a math class at BYU.
I know math.
I'm sure you did. Okay, this group of linebackers, certainly led by you and Ben Bywater. There's some young guys that, you know, Ace and Micah Kafusi, Isaiah Glasker, and others. Eamon Hanneman is in the group. AJ Vongpachak comes from Utah State. You mentioned you're going to play on the boundary. Who's specifically competing at your position for playing time there?
You know, at this point, I feel like it's been a matter of just everybody learning every spot. You know, you can never be too comfortable, but I feel like at the boundary in the spring, you know, we had Eamon playing a lot of the rover spot. We had Micah Kafusi playing that spot. Sione Moa, you know, a lot of guys are able to play multiple positions, and that's what I think is good about our linebacker group right now. You know, if guys need to step in at Mike, they can step in at Mike. If they need to play Sam to the field, they can do that as well. So I think that's the good thing about our linebackers is, you know, we're all pretty versatile and athletic, and we can move around where we're needed. So.
How does the role of the linebackers change, if at all, in this defense this year?
I don't know. In my opinion, linebackers are always kind of the core and the heart of the defense. If your linebackers are playing good at that middle level, I feel like the whole defense is going to play pretty well. But I think with this year, we're just having more of an emphasis on aggression and attacking the line of scrimmage, attacking downhill, filling gaps, filling holes. I think it'll all just bounce off of each other. We'll all see different improvements in our game from just the level of play that we're playing. So,
Max, for this defense to be awesome, everyone obviously has to do their job and be their best. What does your best look like this year that not only helps this defense but helps get you an NFL opportunity next year?
Yeah, I think it's just, you know, it's a matter of, you know, sticking to your assignment. For me, I've kind of had a taste of what playmaking really can be like, and I think I really just want to capitalize on, you know, taking that to the next step, furthering my playmaking abilities, making more plays like those pick sixes and plays that catch people's eye. For me personally, I think that's probably the next step is just to build upon what I've already done here at BYU and, you know, put it all together in a final six season.
What are you hoping for out of the gear that you will receive today?
Sure. Gear has become so, like, underwhelming, I feel like, over the years. You know, after you've gone to this is your sixth fall camp, you know, gear is gear. I think I might have got this shirt my first fall camp, honestly.
2018?
So, yeah, like, it might be a five-year-old shirt. But, I don't know. Gear hasn't been always my biggest, you know, selling point. But, you know, you can always be more excited. You know, Big 12, there's probably more stuff coming. So we'll see what happens come this week.
With that said, the understated nature of this, what's your favorite piece of gear that you own of BYU?
I feel like the shoes are always the best, you know, especially, you know, they're coming into the Big 12. They're branching out. We used to get some of the same shoes every year. We're starting to get cooler shoes, more likable for you know, what we wear in a regular day basis. So I think shoes are always fun, but you can never have too many shorts or shirts, honestly. So,
are you rocking the Monarchs like Keaton Slovis?
Shoot, I need to be. I'm rocking some goofy slides. Can't even see them.
Oh, this is a slide kind of day, Max.
Yeah, this is the slide.
Relax. Yeah. What does a successful fall camp look like, by the way? Given that it is long, it is a grind. What will make a successful fall camp here?
I mean, personally, I think everybody's got different levels of success for fall camp. For me, at this point in my career, I want to learn the defense. I want to, you know, get it down and, you know, ultimately stay healthy. I've been battling health this last year, so I think that's my number one priority, is just to, you know, stay in the training room, stay rehabbing up, staying on top of my ice and whatnot, keeping my legs fresh, because it's truly a grind every day out here. So just getting through, you know, mastering the defense. I think that's the main goal for me right now.
How's the shoulder, and could you play a game today?
Yeah, for sure. Could play a game. I mean, I like to think I could play through most anything, but yeah, the shoulder's feeling real good. It's been a solid recovery. Got it done in December, so yeah, we're looking at almost 8 months. So it's been a while, so it should be good to go. Good to go come September.
Well, that's good, because you got a full month of practice, and then on to Sam Houston coming up September 2nd. Max, we appreciate the time. Best of luck getting the gear and in fall camp, man.
Hey, appreciate it. Thanks for the time.
Here's the more pick sixes in a sixth year of BYU football.
Cougar Stats tweeted 9 minutes ago, Max Tuli has 2 interception returns for a touchdown. The BYU career record is 3, said by Mike Russell, who did it in 2 seasons as a JUCO transfer in 73-74. I believe Tom Homo had at least 2.
He had 2, right?
Washington State, 81. And
San Diego State?
82, Georgia.
Oh, no. Right? So somebody returned an interception for a touchdown against San Diego State in 79, but maybe it wasn't Tom.
I think Tom was probably a little young at that point.
Yeah.
But I think Tom had 2. He's tied with Max Tuli. Let's go.
Yeah.
He's got a nose for the ball. If you miss any interviews, Deep Blue shows, games, other content you want to watch, After Further Review, and so on, the first episode from last week, download the BYU TV app, get all the BYU TV sports content on demand on BYUSN.com.
Up next, NFL training camps have begun. Puka Nacua, not surprisingly, making Puka-type plays. Are you taking him as the most prominent BYU rookie this season, or is it anybody else? This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Make sure you follow BYU Sports Nation on social media. We've got Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, Threads, and X, formerly known as Twitter. Are we going to say that this week only? Is that what we're doing?
X?
X, formerly known as Twitter?
No, I think it's forever going to be known as formerly Twitter. I don't know.
By the way, confirmed, Tom Holman did have pick sixes against Wazoo and Georgia. Not sure if there's another one.
Okay. Yeah,
I'll hit him up.
At least 2. The show rolls on from Studio B alongside Jerem Jordan. I'm Spencer Linton. Let's roll out today's headlines.
BYU football players report to camp today. That includes getting gear, pads, helmets, gloves, cleats, etc. First practice being held tomorrow afternoon. Also, the Maxwell Award watch list was released this morning for best player in the country. BYU's got 2 players on this list.
Whoa.
In Keaton Slovis at quarterback and Aiden Robbins at running back. One of 17 teams to have 2 players listed. Nobody had 3.
The NFL is celebrating Back Together Weekend. 21 different BYU players are in different training camps around the league, representing 19 different National Football League teams. In other NFL news, the Green Bay Packers have claimed James Empey off of waivers from the Tennessee Titans, so James Empey's headed to Green Bay.
There you go. Ashley Hatt scored 2 goals, had an assist on Friday night for the Washington Spirit in the NWSL Challenge Cup. She became the 2nd player in Washington history to score 2 goals, get an assist in a single game, and it's the 2nd time in NWSL Challenge Cup history that anybody's done.
Every time she does something great, I just become more and more bitter that she's not with the World Cup squad.
Well, they're not subbing anybody in, so ask Lynn Williams how that's going from Pepperdine.
Ari Mackey-Williams, BYU women's basketball in the FIBA 3-on-3 tournament for New Zealand, In Edmonton, Canada scored 4 points, had a couple of rebounds as New Zealand failed to advance out of the knockout rounds, but still very cool that she got to represent her country that competition.
That's cool. Big weekend for Cougars in golf.
Yeah.
32-year-old former Cougar Zach Blair shot a 64 yesterday at the 3M Open in Minnesota to finish tied for 13th. He regained his PGA Tour
Zach!
2 years after a pair of surgeries on his right shoulder. He's plus 900, by the way, to finish top 20 Sunday. Not bad. Honorary Coug Tony Finau in the same tournament finished 7th at 15 under. Peter Quest shot 7 under to tie for 50th as well. On the Korn Ferry Tour, former golfer Patrick Fishburne got to OT, took 2nd in the NV5 Invitational, nailed an eagle on 18 to get there.
To force the playoff. I got to a second hole of a playoff.
Oh, man. And BYU golfer Tyson Shelley won the Pacific Coast Amateur, shooting a 62 in the final round. How about the golfers?
We're a golf school. BYU has named Zach Warren as the new men's tennis coach. Warren, former BYU men's tennis player from 2004 to 2006. I think we were in school with him at some point.
We were.
BYU men's assistant coach from 2009 to 2012 returns to Provo after working as the associate head coach of the Cal women's tennis program for the past 9 seasons. Welcome home to Zach Warren.
And Jackson Clough went 4-for-10, 4 runs, 4 RBI over the weekend. Daniel Schneeman also hit a solo homer. More on Schneeman in a moment.
Those are today's headlines. Let's opinionate a little bit and whip it. Cougar Whip Round presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
After Falcons training camp, Tyler Allgeier signed autographs for everyone except a Utah fan who offered his hat to him, but Tyler gave him a fist bump. Was this the right move?
Of course it was the right move. I just was impressed at how quickly he recognized what was actually happening, because it's like chaos. There's a bunch of players.
He saw the drum and feather. He wasn't about it.
He's like, no, I ain't going to do it. But as Tyler does, very cordial, this was 100% the right move.
He was like, nah, and then he was like, this one.
Yeah.
That's a classy move. You don't have to sign that hat.
Let's stay with NFL training camp news. First up, Puka Nacua catching this touchdown pass at Rams training camp. Jeremy, the question is, will Puka Nacua be the most prominent rookie out of BYU this season, or is it someone else in the field?
No, it's Puka. He's going to get PT. He's going to get time. Jaron might get a little bit of mop-up duty, but
Blake,
unless there's
maybe?
An injury. Yes, but we won't be able to quantify it very well. What are we going to go to PFF and be like, yes, if Blake's a starter
then
all
that's,
year,
that's the way.
Get a tackle spot.
That is the way.
Perhaps, but if Puka has 10 catches, he may be the guy as a rookie.
Well, Blake might not be blocking for Jonathan Taylor.
We'll see how that drama goes. Yeah. In Kansas City, Matt Bushman caught a couple of touchdown passes from Patrick Mahomes. Will Bushman make the Chiefs 53-man roster?
No, but he's going to be 100% on the practice squad, and he will be elevated to the 53-man roster at some point this season.
Yeah, he's not even listed in the top 3 on multiple depth charts, ESPN, our lads as well. You got Travis Kelce, of course, but Noah Gray's in his 3rd year. Joe Fortsy's in his 3rd year. Blake Bell's in his 9th year. Kendall Blanton, 4th year. Matt has played 2 games total, 10 snaps in the NFL with the Raiders in 21. The hope is that he can crack into it eventually.
Yes.
But that's certainly a busy room. They use the tight end effect.
Yeah, he's going to make the practice squad.
This is a good gig on the Super Bowl champs.
100%.
You got a ring.
And I think just with attrition and injuries and whatnot, like at some point he's going to be on an active roster in the season.
And who knows, maybe he pulls the Taysom Hill where he has a really nice camp and then someone else picks him up and actually plays him.
I would love that. Former Coug baseballer Daniel Schneeman, recently on the program, hit a home run, attaboy, still doing his thing for the Columbus Clippers over the weekend, but that may not have been the highlight of his weekend, Jerem. Maybe it's this picture with David Baker, who is the actor who plays Stanley Hudson from The Office. So what's better, this photo or another home run in Schneeman's career season?
Did I stutter? No, it's with Stanley. That's great. That's fun. Yeah, and Schneeman looks like he's been there before. I love it. That's great.
I'm going to go with the photo. It's just such a unique opportunity.
That's awesome.
For sure. And I'm happy for Daniel. Like, he's
having
such
a great
season.
He's
such a humble, unassuming type player. Just head down, go to work, do his thing, and he has elevated himself nicely.
Life Alley just got an assistant coach gig with the softball team, which is awesome here. So, yeah, they're a ball-playing family.
The power couple.
Yep.
Up next, the director of football equipment for BYU football. This is a huge day for him. Specifically, he's Josh Hewitt, and he joins us live to preview the gear, some of the other things the players are going to get. This is BYU Sports Nation. Glad.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation, hanging out live in Studio B on reporting day.
Just wait for BYU Arizona to join the Big 12, Smith.
Yes, understandably focused on what could potentially happen with more Big 12 expansion, but we're keen that BYU football is about to get going. Practice number one tomorrow. To help us preview what today is like as the players report is the director of football equipment for BYU football. He does an amazing job in that role. Josh Hewitt is on BYU Sports Nation. Josh, welcome to the show. This is, we called it during the break, like Christmas morning for BYU football players. And so do you feel like their parent who is about to watch their kids unwrap all these amazing presents and swag?
Definitely. I love seeing the reaction that they have when they get the new gear. We're going to do it similar to we did last year, and they'll get a little bit today and a little bit throughout camp just to keep spirits up.
Can you give us a peek at what they're going to be given today?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. So. And you haven't given this out yet?
Not yet.
Oh, the Big 12 logo on the T-shirt.
This is exclusive, people.
Okay, so they have – and everything is very specific to what they are doing, correct? Like, are these, this is like – is that like lifting outfits right there compared to what they'll practice in?
Yeah, so the black shorts are their practice shorts. The blue short sleeve and shorts are their lifting shirt. And then they have a gray shirt with navy shorts that is just wear around the building type stuff.
Who decides what combinations of colors and designs happen? Is that all your decision? Do the players have input in that?
Uniform-wise, the players do, obviously. Love to get their input on what they want to wear type stuff. Because if they are excited to wear it, then we're excited to put it out on the field for them, you know. But the other stuff we kind of do in-house in the equipment room and match stuff up to make it look good.
Josh, we want people to adequately appreciate how much planning goes into this and what you have to deal with as you look at one year to the next. Now, understandably, with the Big 12 coming into play, I'm sure it made things a little bit more complicated, more technicalities there. So when did the planning process for this gear and uniforms and everything begin for you?
So last September, we submitted an order with Nike. So there's like three windows we do. We do one in September, October, and then late October again for some different items. So it's almost 10 months out determining what we're going to wear for the year. As far as gear, uniforms are similar. Obviously, we're not changing the wheel on what we do. We're BYU. We're going to have three stripes, the Royal Navy. We're going to have it all. So.
What kind of amounts of shoes and gloves and shirts and whatnot do you guys have in there per season?
Quite a bit. our issue, I think, right now is like right around 200 people with staff, managers, video, and all that goes into it. So it's a lot of gear.
Who's got the largest shoe on the team?
Peter Falonico right now with a size 17.
Oh, my. Woo! Oh, my goodness.
Are those hard to come by, or is Nike like, yeah, we got a ton of them?
No, I think we have a size 18 in here this year.
Oh, wow.
You just have an 18 just in case?
Yeah, you never know who's going to show up.
Oh, like if some walk-on or something needed an 18?
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
You show us, oh, is this the biggest shoe that you have?
Will you put your hand up to that just so we can get a sense of how? Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. Holy cow.
Do you get the best swag because you're the director of football equipment?
So I pick it out, so it's got to be good.
Yeah.
So everyone can have it. You know?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay. As we wrap up, we have to ask, and you probably can't reveal too much, but every fan wants to know, what jerseys are going to be available this year? Is there more blackout? Is there specialty helmets?
Jesus, like, Josh.
What can you tell us?
Just to wait and see.
I had to ask.
I think we have a different combination for every week. So
outstanding.
Nice. I wanted to ask you this. I didn't realize this. I read on your bio. Your grandpa Don did this for 32 years for the Rams. Your dad worked for the Rams and USC Trojans all the way up to 21 when BYU played USC. And your brother does this at Fresno State. This is the family business, football equipment?
Definitely. Third generation.
Wow.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, congratulations to you. And again, we appreciate the time you spent with us today because you deserve the limelight. You deserve to focus on you a little bit for everything you do right here.
I appreciate you guys. Thanks for having us.
You got it. Josh Hewitt, the director of football equipment at BYU Football, showing us a sneak peek. The players haven't even seen
it. They haven't seen it.
The practice gear.
They're in a meeting right now. They're in an almost two-hour meeting getting ready for fall camp and exclusive access here on BYU TV.
Well, if there is a player that's stuff. Secretly streaming BYU Sports Nation in that meeting.
Ben Bywater's like, hey, guys, we're going to watch this.
Max Tooley's checking out. How did the interview look? They're showing us the football equipment.
Okay.
Don't say anything.
Max was low-key on it, though. Like, I've been to six of these.
He knows.
This is all awesome. But
for sure.
It's a marathon. Let's go.
All right, still on the way. Our Rise and shout-out goes to an everyday hero. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. BYU Sports Nation is presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
BYU Sports Nation, still some work to do here in Studio B as BYU football reports for training camp. Our question of the day, what will have more of your attention this week? Is it things that pertain to BYU football and their training camp, or is it still about Big 12 conference expansion, the rumors, the madness? Yeah, we agree. Outside of watching actual football practice, it's all Big 12 expansion.
I can have attention for all of this. I've got space.
Bobby Daly on Twitter, or X, says, the start of training camp. We can't control what happens with expansion, but we now get to start playing football and leaving BYU's Big 12 legacy. Also hoping for as few injuries as possible.
Yep. Amen to that.
Disclaimer in every tweet for that.
Please stay healthy, everybody. Dave Osman on Facebook. Osman? Expansion, baby. High drama at its best. Yes, until we have actual games. I think any sort of real smoky expansion talk.
Until game week, maybe?
Yeah.
Then we're previewing an actual opponent.
Again, even into the season, remember, BYU got the invite week two in 2021. So that can bleed into the season, certainly. But we'll see. And again, we're talking about the start of next year when, the Pac-12 TV deal is over after this season.
John Gale on Twitter says, realignment, it's not even close. Wake me when the season starts.
There are those who don't care a lick about fall camp. Certainly, the real determination of things probably won't happen till the season in a lot of cases. Okay. But I love the depth chart battles.
I love
familiarizing myself with that third string, weak side linebacker that may play.
Just to know.
That's the stuff I enjoy.
It was a fifth-string linebacker that was playing in Shreveport in the Independence Bowl in 2021.
Yeah, and last year BYU had Sol Jamiava-Peters playing quarterback. Like, you got to get to know these guys just in case.
Our elite voice of the day is presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated from Nolan Mickelson on Facebook, who says, fall camp! Conference expansion has been a nice appetizer, but it's time for the entree.
The entree is the season.
The games.
To me.
The games.
But yes, I feel it.
Today's Rise and Shout-Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics, and a special shout-out to Tim Jackson, an alum BYU, who dropped off some incredible newspaper clippings.
Like, this is cool.
This is the front page of the USA Today Sports from November 20th, 1984. So why is that a prominent date? Because BYU became officially number one after defeating Utah. And they jumped from number three up to number one. The Cougars were on their way to a national championship. How cool is that? It's Lake Hemuli right there. Some BYU cheerleaders getting some love as well.
We couldn't BYU on the sweaters? It's just generic.
Ed Eistone is also in this newspaper.
Yes, he is.
Having won the national championship.
And then I want to shout out at Titan of UK. It's Luke Reed. As a Brit, I've never really gotten into college football. Maybe I thought it was too confusing this year. I'm going to give it a go and follow along. I've decided to support BYU football. Luke. Welcome to the fam. You're one of us.
Welcome, brother.
One of us.
Welcome,
one
brother.
Of us.
He's a Cougar fan.
Is that from 84?
Tim Jackson, 84.
Nice.
Our thanks to today's guests, Max Tooley and Josh Hewitt.
Sorry to Dennis, we ran out of time. Go to BYSN.com for all the content on the menu.
For Jerem Jordan, I'm Spencer Linton. Shout out to Irvin Lee. We'll see you tomorrow for an actual practice at some point. BYU Sports Nation continues. Go Cougs! Cougar fans for life!